MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Alex Stanek. He's a portfolio manager within the JP Morgan Asset Management International Equity Group. Of course, StanLib and JP Morgan Asset Management have got a strategic partnership announced last year. First milestone is two new offshore funds, StanLib Growth, Global Growth, which is what we'll be chatting today. Alex, appreciate the time. This fund is investing, really looking for creative growth. Can you give us a sort of a top line summary of what makes this an attractive investment for investors?
Sure. And first of all, Simon, thank you very much for having me on the show and giving me the time to talk you through the global growth strategy. That's a great question. I think it really goes straight to the point of what we're trying to do here. And but investing in something called value creative growth. And what that means is we're looking for companies which have sustainable growth over many, many years, but because that's the main driver of shareholder returns over the long term. The longer you hold an investment, the more the earnings power comes through, assuming it's growing over the long term. That drives your returns. But value creative growth is not just that growth. It's also adding a strong element of quality. And that really looks at the sustainability of the returns being generated, the conservative finance structure, so balance, a strong balance sheet and net cash position. And if you think about that as lowering the risk and helping ensure that growth rate comes through to benefit us, that's the key relationship or intersection that we're looking for over the long term to drive superior returns.
Yeah, I got that. And it's sort of like, you know, pulling on multiple levers. You've identified some growth theme, digital revolution, going green. Tell us a little more about this. I suppose it's conscious consumption, really.
Yeah, so the growth theme is important. I've mentioned we focus on long-term growth. So what we're looking for is to identify growth, sort of thematic growth drivers, which will last way longer than the macroeconomic cycle. And that's where that power of compounding becomes very important. It takes us outside of the macro cycle, extends our time horizon and our thought process. And to slightly butcher a Bill Gates quote, people tend to overestimate what happens in the next 2 years and underestimate what happens in the next 10. So we're deliberately pushing ourselves out by identifying these long-term themes. And yeah, they're key drivers for that long-term growth. Now, you mentioned a couple, digital revolution and going green. Conscious consumption relates to this in some ways. And it really looks at how informed consumers are able to be now, which is really created by the technology improvements we've had. I'll give you a good example. If you ever use a service such as that provided by Uber, there's a two-sided network effect here. There's a network of drivers who have information about the riders. And there's obviously, as a rider, there's information about the driver. And if you have high ratings, you can come together and maybe take that ride. Prior to that platform's existence, we were in the dark. We didn't know. It's a bit of a gamble. It could be cab, could be good, could be bad, could be dangerous. So what we found is that the safety environment for both driver and rider has massively improved. And that is just a net good. It's a good result. So it gives a level of information to a consumer that we simply didn't have before.
Yeah, that is a great example. And as you point out, I mean, in the olden days, both parties, the driver and the user, were totally in the dark as about what that experience was going to be. You don't have constraints around country or even sector exposure. Where is most of the portfolio investing? And when you're looking at stocks, I mean, is it sort of company first, a sort of bottom up, or do you start with perhaps a region or a sector and then look within?
Yeah, again, a great question. So our primary focus is on the stocks. So as I said earlier, we're looking for that combination of value creative growth, but also the ability for the shares to roughly double over a five-year time horizon, which is our investment framework horizon. And that really, it sounds aggressive, but actually if you break that down, that's about 14.5% annualized return for the investments we're making. And so that is the driver in terms of our thinking. It's the ability to capture that and benefit at the fund level from that continued growth over the long term, which is obviously in excess of the average growth rate of company earnings in the market for many, many years. So that's our driver. But we are deliberately diversified across the long-term growth drivers, like the themes we've already mentioned, and they have very different drivers. We are diversified by sectors in terms of where we find those good ideas. We're also diversified by the stage of the company's life cycle, early stage companies versus later stage companies. They can all demonstrate growth, but obviously the amount of risk you might be taking versus an earlier stage versus a later stage company is slightly different. But all of them share a common characteristic of having returns way in excess of their cost of capital and a strong financial position. Because we're invested, we have a bit of a concentration in some areas, in like for example, IT services.
Yeah.
So that comes to two sections. One would be the payments companies, which a company like MasterCard, for example, which is benefiting from the continued lack of use of cash versus electronic means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's providing a very strong growth rate for many years to come. As well as the other side, that would be some of the companies which are helping the digitization of many corporates in terms of IT services, IT service providers. And they are a key constituent of the change that companies are pushing hard to go through, which again is a multi-year process. It's not just a sort of little COVID bump and it's over.
Yeah.
This is a very, very protracted process.
Yeah, a trend that predates COVID. COVID accelerated it, but predated it. A last question. I mean, 2022 has kicked off with global inflation, rising interest rates either happening or due to happen, of Ukraine more recently. I mean, what are you seeing as major risks in 2022? Or are some of what I've mentioned here more bumps in the road rather than long-term risks in the investments you've got?
Again, great question. I don't have a crystal ball. You have to be prepared for all weathers. I think we learned that lesson in early 2020 when COVID struck. And again, that just reinforces one aspect about having conservatively financed company that can deal with whatever bumps in the road come. We can have some, the known unknowns versus the unknown unknowns. And what we're prepared for is we can talk about, if you look through inflation, we do think it's peaking or come back down to the second half of the year, but moderates as a risk, it goes back to a more steady level. But those risks we can see, there's always that sort of the black swan event which is going to happen to quote Nicholas Taleb. So we approach this as a conservative investor with the ability to go straight through those sort of risks and make sure that they can self-fund that growth as opposed to be dependent on external finance. If I had to put my risk antenna out there for one particular risk, I think there is some danger. We don't expect them to. I'll be clear about this. We don't expect the Fed to make a policy error, but there is a possibility of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting some heat in terms of seem to be behind the curve with inflation. We think inflation is peaking, but if they move a little too fast, too quickly, and maybe panic, for example, that could cause some more dislocation in markets. So I think that's probably the out there risk. No one expects it. Everyone expects them to be very careful and moderate in their increases. And that's probably the most likely scenario. There's a little risk in the background that they might be out of sync with what they need to do.
Yeah, I take your point. Base case, they're probably going to do it perfectly well, but just in case, keep an eye on it. We'll leave it there. Alex Stanek, Portfolio Manager within the JP Morgan Asset Management International Equity Group. We're talking the StanLib Global Growth Fund. Alex, appreciate the time today.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.